The education process at the later levels, especially college, was designed to invite and encourage debate and discussion as a means to attain greater understanding. Stating what you believed was looked at as a positive experience, really, for all people. State of affairs regarding free speech on the college campus today, that's drifted quite a bit from that concept, hasn't it? Today, you literally have to make a two-week appointment to practice your First Amendment rights, but only in the area designated by the college's administrators. Our next guest is with us to discuss the tightening censorship on America's college campuses, which can be instigated with as few as two words like, ooh, I don't know, how about Trump 2016? He writes about this in his new book, Closing of the Liberal Mind, How Groupthink and Intolerance Define the Left. He's a distinguished fellow and former vice president of the Heritage Foundation. He's also served as a U.S. Assistant Secretary of State in the President George W. Bush administration. Kim Holmes. Good morning, Mr. Holmes.
It's good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
And, of course, the Heritage Foundation is at heritage.org on the web. And like I said in the intro, Kim, Hillary 2016, nice bumper sticker. Bernie 2016, quite a surprise. Kasich 2016, never say die attitude. Cruz 2016, good fighter. Trump 2016, you're a racist. What's wrong with this picture?
Seems to be rather rigged, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I decided to write this book, the title, The Closing of the Liberal Mind, to tell the story and the history of how progressive liberalism has become the opposite of what we normally understand by the word of liberal. I don't mean liberal in the ideological sense, so like the Democratic Party, but I mean the idea that most people, when you look at the Webster's Dictionary, they understand that liberal mind means I'm open-minded, supposed to be tolerant of other people's points of view, I may disagree with you, but you have a right to your opinion. That's the sort of the common day understanding of what liberal-minded means. And the point of my book is to tell the story of how what is today called liberalism is the exact opposite of that. I use the word illiberalism to describe it. Illiberal means the very opposite of that. Closed-minded, intolerant, doesn't allow for any opposing points of view. That is what progressive liberalism today, and you mentioned the instances on college campuses. It's really the classic examples of how this has gone to an extreme. We all know the many stories of speech codes and safe spaces and professors being fired and suspended for not towing the ideological line, communications professors at the University of Missouri calling in muscle to silence a reporter. Some African-American student organizations calling for resegregated safe spaces for black students. And, of course, prominent people like Condi Rice and Larry Summers, a former president of Harvard University, of all places, are disinvited and not allowed to speak. So the very place where you would expect a liberal education to exist, you're getting an illiberal education. It's the exact opposite. And the point of my book is not only to talk about how this is happening on college campuses, but it's happening in many other aspects of American society, in our institutions, in our courts, in our popular culture, in our governments. And it's part of a larger pattern that as the more successful progressive liberals become, the more they are likely to use any means possible to try to coerce people into conforming to their point of view.
And what we talk about with the college campuses and the mere mention of Trump 2016, what it is a catalyst for in Ohio University. Trump 2016 got a fraternity in trouble. This is the extreme of the extreme. Kim, at Tulane University down in Louisiana, on they call it a graffiti wall, and just before a celebration week, and some of the frat boys wrote Trump 2016 and build the wall as a satire against Trump. And even that got objections, just because it was there.
Yeah, I know.
Even though the intent for it was to be against Trump, someone was against someone being against Trump, I guess we could say.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and a part of the reason why I wanted to write this book was I know many sort of old-style liberals, even those who fought like Bill Clinton did in the 1990s, but certainly those that go back to FDR, the New Deal, and even John F. Kennedy Jr., this is not the kind of liberalism, these kind of cultural extremism that you see on the campuses that they believed in. And I wanted to, and I've talked to some of these people offline, and they're kind of puzzled themselves about what's happening on American campuses. But the problem is that the political divide and the polarization is so great and the political correctness, if you will, on their side, the fear to speak out, is a lot of Americans don't even know how much progressive liberalism has changed and become radicalized. And I wanted to write a book to show how much it has changed. Because if you were to, just the other day, I was reading the Washington Post the editorial side, and whatever you may think of John Kasich, they called him a radical extremist because of his position on abortion. And that is, it boggles the mind. I mean, you can disagree with somebody without putting that kind of a label on him. And the fact that the Washington Post, which is supposed to be a moderate liberal newspaper, can't tell the difference between a sort of standard progressive liberalism that existed for decades and the new radical form that it has become today is precisely the problem.
So Kim Holmes, his book, The Closing of the Liberal Mind, How Groupthink and Intolerance Define the Left. He's a distinguished fellow, former vice president of the Heritage Foundation, also served as a U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for George W. Bush. Heritage.org is the Heritage Foundation website, annual listening to issues and ideas. How are the illiberals being empowered? I mean, speaking on behalf of the broadcasting industry for a second, an unfortunate fact is 100,000 people could be listening or watching a form of media and be totally entertained by it, informed by it, no problem with it. You get one, two, maybe three people who show up with a complaint. They go to the front of the line. Is that part of the problem?
Yes, it is part of the problem because once progressives get into power, or any institution, once they become judges in the courtrooms, once they become commissioners in the FEC, once they become administrators and presidents of universities, they start enforcing a lockstep groupthink among the people that that they hire and support. And at that point, it doesn't become like a hardcore kind of like, well, we are going to target conservatives, although that does happen. Look at what happened to the IRS. It becomes more a matter of conformity and consensus because you got 9 or 10 people in the room who all think alike, and then one person who comes like a conservative or a traditionalist who happens to even question them, all they have to do is just kind of laugh them out of the room. That's true for many professors who never get hired at universities. At that point, the discrimination doesn't even have to be overt. It can be subtle. And that's how they exercise their power. They exercise their power at the commanding heights of controlling all of the major institutions of America as a ruling class. And they also control the popular culture through our entertainment industry and the like. And I'm using the word control not in a conspiratorial sense. I know if there's some liberals listening in, they may kind of say, oh, my God, this sounds like a big conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy. It's a consensus. They're the ones that are all like-minded. They don't interact with anybody who disagrees with them. And therefore, existing in their own bubble, when they come across somebody who disagrees, their gut reaction is, well, that is simply beyond the realm of polite conversation. As a matter of fact, it might even be hate speech. And so therefore, we can criminalize it and even exclude it from the public discourse.
Or to flip that even around, if they come out of these universities and colleges with this lockstep mindset and they fail to achieve their goals in career and life or succeed in what they set out to do, doesn't the end result become, well, it's not my fault, it's the fault of everything around me?
Absolutely, yeah. And then they can start reverting to all kinds of measures of claiming discrimination and the like. And then a whole machinery of law and bureaucracy gets established, either in the universities or in the company workplace, to make sure that these kinds of views ultimately prevail.
Wrapping up our time with Kim Holmes and his book, The Closing of the Liberal Mind, How Groupthink and Intolerance Define the Left, heritage.org, is where you can find really insightful educational information and journalism. And Mr. Holmes is a distinguished fellow of the Heritage Foundation, also former vice president here on Issues and Ideas. So not tipping the hand completely, because I want people to read The Closing of the Liberal Mind to get an understanding. Hopefully some out there might even see your book as a mirror and say, you know what, maybe I could be the instrument of change within my own realm of the political belief system. But is it really just as simple as an open mind is what's more needed?
Well, no, it's not the only thing, but it's a start. And it's the one area where I think that conservatives have the upper ground and the upper moral ground, if you will, by talking to liberals to their face. You can shame them into saying you are violating your own professed principles. Now, many of them are not going to admit it, but at least it's a way that you can appeal to the sense of fairness of the American people who don't like bullies, who don't like, you know, real intolerance, the kind where it's being enforced by the law and the like. And this is precisely the direction that progressives are heading in. So I think it's just a good line of argument, but we have to educate ourselves about the ideas and the history of how this happened and to arm ourselves with a lot of information and knowledge. Otherwise, it's so easy to get sucked up into the popular culture and to be called a racist or accused of discrimination. I provide in this book plenty of examples and stories and analysis of why none of that is true.
And again, the book is A Closing of the Liberal Mind, How Groupthink and Intolerance Define the Left. Like I said, you'll see how to fill the void and realize that our tomorrows are rooted in our todays, and too many of people in our todays are in danger of going out with very limited views, and that is in turn going to limit our tomorrows, and that is certainly not the path that we want the country to take. He's a distinguished fellow, former vice president of the Heritage Foundation, also served as a U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for President George W. Bush. Kim Holmes, thanks for being here this morning.
That's great being with you. Thank you for having me.